from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who listens to The Weeknd. You know I love my pop music, and I'm here to bring you the feel of The Weeknd. You know, some smoothified pop music, but more that feel of The Weeknd on weeknights, so you can rest, you can get comfortable. And you could wonder what I'm talking about, because if you're wondering that, you're in the right place, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots. Before the episode gets started here, I just wanted to acknowledge this episode was recorded a little while ago. And I just wanted to let you know that in the show notes, if you're looking to support the black members of your community, if you're like me and you find yourself in a position of needing to look at your own privilege and the changes you personally need to make to become more aware, or if you need some resources right now for help around any issue, all those things are going to be in the show notes in a link. Because this podcast is here for you to feel seen and put you to sleep, but there's other resources beyond what this podcast can do, and that's what those links will provide, and I'm open to hearing more. Thanks, and let's keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's the one part of the podcast I strive for it here. That's why it's a little bit more brash and upbeat, because it's where I talk about three kinds of support. But the first support is the listeners who supported the sponsors, so I get to bring you this podcast on a regular basis. And I wanted to thank Amarinda, who supported Daily Harvest, oh boy, and gave me the tip on the watermelon and dragon fruit smoothie, which I put on my next order. So thank you so much. If you support a sponsor, tag them in a social media post, tag me, and let me know. Did you sign up for Daily Harvest, True Botanicals? Did you get a Helix mattress, Celestial Seasonings? Let me know. Let the sponsors know so they know their partnership with the show is valuable. The second part of the podcast is you getting the support you need, whether it's a support for your own self-care, your own mental health, or to support enacting change in your community and supporting the members of your community. All those links you can find in the show notes as well. And I'm always listening for new resources to share. And then the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, and I'm trying to, so I had this thing going where I had the Waterwheel Foundation fundraiser, which was going to end at the start of July, but I'm going to extend that not only beyond June and into July, But I'm going to open it up. If you want to support the Waterwheel Foundation, you could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/waterwheel. Or if you want to support an organization that's supporting the lives of the Black members of our community, you could, there'll be links to those organizations there. Or if you support a local organization, let me know about it. Tag the organization or tag me or tag Waterwheel and tag me and join me. And join the other members of our community trying to enact change here. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Waterwheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perk.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And then remember, if that's Dearest Scooter. People remind me that I say that really fast. And then if you listen in a podcast app and you feel like the podcast is sped up or distorted, you double check that you don't have smart speed or you haven't changed the speed setting or you don't have vocal boost or anything like that enabled. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about on your mind or going through, you know, in there, around there. You know, stuff on your mind. I mean, how many more ways can I say it than mind on your? You might have your. This is okay. We're off topic early. But I'd say, what does a person prepping for Thanksgiving say in a song when they're trying to? This is far removed from Thanksgiving, time wise. But you'd say, you know, if you say, I got stuffing, I got my mind on my stuffing and my stuffing on my mind. If you were you'd say, I'm trying to remember all the ingredients. So that could be one thing on your mind. But now I'd like to take your mind off of that. It could be something physical coming up or emotional you're experiencing. What I want to do is take your mind off of that. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, all, like I said, to kind of create a safe place, whatever's keeping you awake, where you could have some room to get comfortable and relax. Now, if you're new to the show, you might say, okay, did you say you have stuffing on your mind on your stuffing and stuffing on your mind? And I'd say also stuffing. I don't, if I was at a diner and they said today's special stuffing, I'd say stuffing. I don't mind. So is bread pudding, is that considered a stuffing? I mean, I just throw it out there, but wouldn't that be just a dessert stuffing? I mean, that's the thing. I'm not saying start a stuffing based business or only stuffing. Though I might start selling it. What do you sell it? What's Scoots do? What happened to Sleep With Me? Well, Scoot started a SBB opportunity. SBB, is that like an MLM? And it didn't get that far. It was a stuffing-based business. Oh, like stuffing envelopes? No, Scooter didn't even think of that one. That was a timeless. That was actually connected to those first letters. No, it was. He thought. Well, he accidentally triggered the great stuffing restaurant glut, where everybody, and they all, you know, he gets that word glut mixed up. So it could have been. He could mean the other one, dearth, where people were opening all those things. You know, where it's like a scoop of stuffing. That was one of them. That was actually the only one that was successful. That was a truck. It was only successful in, you know, Billings, Montana. It did really well there. And everywhere else. But that was one of the businesses, you know, a stuffet. That was a stuffing buffet. It was all because Scooter wanted to promote dessert stuffings. He said, enough with this bread pudding. I'm here for some dessert stuffing or some stuffing for dessert, but not savory stuffing. And so that's popular for a time, a very brief time, you know, just a part of a podcast intro. Also, I forgot. Oh, so if you're new, you might be wondering what I'm talking about. So yeah, that's a common experience. I'm here. Welcome to Sleep With Me, a podcast to put you to sleep. But a couple things to know if you're new. I tend to go off topic as I try to create this safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. So one thing to know is this is a podcast, and actually it's a bit like The Shape of Stuffing, which may be another novel I won't write, or it could be an autobiography, a fictional autobiography or something I wouldn't write. Because you see, it's neither a liquid nor a solid. I think we could all agree on that. I mean, it's barely, it has a low, low viscosity, but it's still viscous. Because, here's another one. Science teachers, let's get this. You say, well, instead of covering plasma, I know I had you kids so excited about covering plasma today and plasmids and those other, whatever, you know, Scooter's just trying to put words in my mouth. He wanted to say intermodular states, but I, as a fictional science teacher, know that's probably not words that meant to go together. But as we talk about states of matter, I did promise we would cover slime. I know how popular slime was. And the great Awkwafina, she was known to have her own slime kits. That would be a branding opportunity. But so instead I decided, instead of the cool, you know, glitter slime and all that, I decided to do stuffing instead. And the kids sighed. Oh, ho-hum is what it's, you know, what it really meant. And you see, well, stuffing doesn't really have a shape. I mean, sometimes it takes the shape of its container. It could be shaped or a stuffing sculptor. There's another one. I don't know. Should this be a stuffing-based episode? Because I'm stuffing in something. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, new listeners. But kind of look at it. Like, you don't normally look at stuffing and judge it on its shape. You may judge it on other things, color, consistency, you know, it's degrees of dryness to wetness and all that. But you don't say, huh, that's, because stuffing by definition is, it's tough to decide. You say, well, it's kind of got bread. It has cubular parts, but it's not a cube. It's made up of cubes or something like cubes, but they don't necessarily always look like cubes. And I would say if this is your first time consuming this podcast, that's one way to look at it. Well, it's in a casserole. I mean, this podcast, probably the dish it would be served in would be a casserole dish. I don't think they don't serve things in chafing dishes. They put a dish inside of a chafing dish. Or is it a chafing dish? Here's another sign, never needed to be put anywhere. No shaving in the chafing dishes. I keep moving. I was going to say, bathing, but you said, well, please don't. Not especially, that's what happened to stuffet, the stuffing buffet. So if you're new, just kind of consume this podcast loosely, like a shape like that. You say, okay. And then maybe you start thinking, well, I could kind of mold it. So it's just meant to be kind of passively consumed at first. Don't try to figure this podcast out, because you may end up frustrated because of gotten those emails. I'm here to put you to sleep and to take your mind off of stuff. So it's a podcast you don't really need to listen to. And then as you become a regular listener, if you do, over your third or fourth or fifth or sixth listen, you say, okay, this is how I enjoy listening to the podcast, as it puts me to sleep or as I get ready for bed. The other thing is there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company as you drift off. I'm your boar friend. I'm your boar bud. I'm your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar bae. And yeah, I'm just here to be your companion in the deep, dark night and keep you company. And as you drift away. So that's why the show's an hour, plenty of time for you to fall asleep. No pressure on my end. Structurally, what to expect? Well, the show is a little bit different, as you've heard so far, and it starts off with business. That's how we're able to keep the podcast free for everybody, coming out twice a week. So I realize it's not convenient to have sponsors and stuff, but I'd rather have the podcast free than behind a paywall. Then there's an intro. In the intro, we're about 9 or 10 minutes into it. Usually, it's somewhere around 12 to 18 minutes long. And this could definitely throw you off if you're new, because you say, well, you spend 20 minutes talking about the business of the show. No, it's kind of like a monologue about things like stuffing or SBBs, stuffing-based business, SBBOs, actually, stuffing-based business opportunities. You say, do you want some stuffing in your life? Do you love stuffing? Couldn't you deal with stuffing all day long? Well, I've got the do you have the right stuff? Well, call 1-800-STUFF-IT and take a look at our stuffing-based business opportunities. Glamorous. Maybe that'll be what this episode's about. So it definitely will be. So, structurally. Oh, so the intro is just, it's 12 to 18 minutes of nonsense, somewhat nonsense, where I kind of explain what the podcast is, go off topic, try to come back. So it's something familiar every single time, but it's a little bit new, because I won't, next time up, it'll probably be eight episodes. In eight episodes from now, you're going to hear me say, huh, never talked about stuffing in an intro before. And if you're a regular listener, you go, Scoots, you just did. And I say, probably been 200 episodes since I talked about stuffing. And then I'll probably talk about it in a different way. Like the famous album, A Pocket Full of Stuffing. Or maybe that was a childhood nursery rhyme. Or no, that was a truism, right? Grandma said, don't leave the house with a pocket of stuffing. It won't be good for you particularly. And I'd say, you were right. Oh, it wasn't good for anybody, but particularly it wasn't good for me, or the stuffing, or my pants, or my pocket, or my self-esteem. It may have taken the biggest blow. Like maybe one day I'll have the esteem to just walk around with pockets full of stuffing. Structurally. So the intro kind of meanders, live meanders in person, but it's to give you time to get ready for bed or to get into bed and start drifting off. That's the main mechanism of it. It's a friendly voice in the deep, dark night. I can guarantee that for a lot of you, you're thinking about either, oh, what's up with Scoots? Once again, you're wondering that, but that's every night. And then you're wondering, it's natural. You say, how would you even get stuffing in your pocket in the first place? That's what my dad said. He said, after he chased the birds off, he said, how'd you even get your pockets full of stuffing? I said, you stuffed them. Well, you know, by definition, that's what I did. Hate to state the obvious, but I stuffed my pockets full of stuffing. That's why they're stuffed with stuffing. I mean, can you just bring me home now, please? And he sighed. The sigh I've heard a million times. Oh, boy. Oh, this isn't my biography. Sorry. a boy with a pocket full of stuffing. And other things I learned making a sleep pod, in conjunction with making a sleep podcast. So, oh yeah, so that's the intro. Just gives you time to wind down. Sometimes there is like a 2-4% of regular listeners that just start the show at 20 minutes and listen there. And then there's a good amount of patrons that either start with one regular episode and then listen to story-only episodes every night or just listen to story-only versions, but you can kind of see what works for you. I don't know. I guess tonight we'll be talking about stuffing in some sense. I don't know. This will be a random trending Tuesday episode. But I make the show because I've been there, one, and I know how it feels in the deep, dark night. Two, I mean, where else are you going to get this much talk? You know, where else does stuffing get its full? I mean, most people are full of stuffing, you know, or turkeys for a time are. And you say, this is where stuffing finally gets the attention it deserves. And then, you know, I could go on and on. But so that'll be a story part of the show. Between the intro and the story, some business. Then the show ends with thank yous. So that's the structure of the show. And I think that's it. I mean, oh, I make the show because I've been there. I know how it feels in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning. You know, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, trouble waking up, all those things. I've been there recently. Then the other thing is I really believe you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place to solitude, of rest, a safe, comfortable place to drift off. If I can help provide part of that, it's my honor. Really, it really is my honor to do so. I mean, the catch is, obviously, this podcast is acquired taste. You already figured that out. I mean, some people, you know, they figured it out 11 minutes ago. They already sent me an email. And unfortunately, it's like really, they said, well, this is what you could do with your stuffing. And I said, well, if you would have listened, you found out I already did, put it in my pockets. So I can't stuff my stuffing because it's already stuffed in my pockets. But thank you for the email. Thanks so much. So just kind of see how the podcast goes. Most listeners, this is a, I'm not like people might think I'm making up these numbers. We're probably close to 1 million people that have said, took 2 or 3 tries before I got used to the show. So that's a pretty ubiquitous piece of wisdom about the podcast is give it a few tries, see how it goes, and see if it can help you. See if it can take your mind off of stuff or keep you company as you drift off so that you can get the rest you deserve. You can be out there in the world rested and flourishing. And then we all benefit, particularly you and the people around you. But, you know, by proxy, the rest of us do too. So I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate your time and checking this show out. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everyone. Welcome to Famous Tales that we came up during intros. A new and ongoing, also ongoing, but also new. So here I'm here, And I'm your storyteller to here to present to you the famous tale, A Pocket Full of Stuffing. And you may have heard, you may have heard some of the beginnings of the story teased out in the intro tonight. Like, once upon a time, this isn't the story. This is how we get to the story. Once upon a time, there was a boy with a pocket, a pocket full of stuffing. Both his pockets, technically all four of his pockets were stuffed full of stuffing, though the rear backside pockets, he had sat down on his bottom after the birds came, so those were no longer stuffed full of stuffing. They were more, had compressed stuffing within them. And our hero, the person, the character in this story, little Andy, he was wearing gray corduroy school pants, and they were all stuffed with stuffing. The birds came, and it was a thing, and then his father came and shooed the birds away. And he said, "My lad," after everything calmed down, he said, "My lad, how did you get a pocket full of stuffing?" And the boy, Andy, who tends to take things not necessarily so literally, but he tends to answer questions literally. So little Andy said, "My pockets were stuffed with stuff. I stuffed my pockets with stuffing, and that's how they got stuffed with stuffing. Can we go home?" You may have heard that part in the intro. And of course, the father took it at that. And, when you have six children and those things, they say, "Okay, let's just get out of here and go home. And I gotta go lie down too, my lad." But little, we never got to hear. How does a boy end up with a pocket full of stuffing? Stuffing is stuffed within those pockets. It's tough to place things in corduroy pockets, especially stuffing. And believe me, I did think about that, because I said, well, one, if you did have the, the well-known what are they called? I guess it's like a dehydrated stuffing. Is that what you call it? I never heard of anybody dehydrating bread before until just I thought of it. Because you say, well, how did you, what did you do? You got that dehydrator, eh? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, boy, I've been dehydrating everything. Like what? Well, made jerky and dehydrated fruits, maybe some kale. Wow, interesting. Okay, anyway, great talk. You the one that makes the sleep podcast? Well, I live within that person that makes the sleep podcast. Yeah, I'm the dehydrator brain. I just handle that dehydration stuff. That was an accident too. We were talking about stuffing, but yeah. Oh, have you ever thought about dehydrating bread? Not even sure that's possible. I think they just call that drying it out. Correct? Isn't that what dehydrating is? Well, no, I have a dehydrator. Anyway, I was just wondering, because when you pre-purchase, when you store-bought a stuffing kit, that bread's like, you had the water, like it's dried out bread. Yeah, you're right, it is. I mean, I know they say if you're making your own stuffing, you're just supposed to use like day-old bread, maybe leave it out, but no, I haven't placed any bread in my dehydrator. Oh, great. Thanks for your time. I got to get back to this story. What I was thinking is, how does a boy, you could place a cube of dried of stuffing mix in your pocket. I guess you could place that. But any more than a few cubes, because usually you're placing things by fingertip. But anything else you'd have to stuff, even dried stuffing, to really get the pockets full. Especially on corduroy, the placement of pockets on corduroy pants, is not always conducive to stuffing things anyway. But what I also was picturing when I heard about this tale, the first questions that came to my mind, just in case you're wondering, Oh, and even more questions develop. So maybe you'll follow along. Maybe you share these questions. You say, well, in order to suspend my disbelief, I need these questions answered first. And I would say, I fully agree with you. So a few, my first thing was the stuffing already moist when it went into the pockets or not? We don't have an answer for that yet. Maybe when we explore this tale, we will come with one. The next one would be, was it dry when it was in there? Then it would have been, okay, then how did it go from dried to prepared? Was it a warm bath? Was it a splash of water? Was it some sort of broth? Was it intentional? Was it unintentional? And even more to go, you know, deeper than inside, you know, so deep into the what really is the meaning of stuffing, you do have to say to yourself, did it include the seasonings? Because if it doesn't include the seasonings, isn't it just wet bread? Or you could say, well, wet bread with broth. And some may say, well, isn't there a bouillon within the, well, everybody knows broth makes it better. And, but you know, then you get the bone, you know, or stock. And you see, but probably you're right that it's probably not stuffing. If it's a pre-mixed stuffing, you don't use the flavoring. Do those come in separate containers nowadays? I'm not sure. It's been a little while since I prepared some of that on the old stovetop, as they say. Well, this is so interesting, but let's get on to the tale. So those are just some questions I was wondering before when I first heard this tale. That was what was at the forefront of my mind. And then now when I was trying to explain that to you, then I thought of the fact, well, it does sound like an existential, you know, stuffing-based question. Therefore, go I stuffing without seasonings? Or am I just cubes of dried bread? Or, you see, well, I'm ready for fondue. You see, you're a little, well, what would happen? Oh, boy. This is more of a creation question, but what would happen if you took the bread from a dried stuffing mix and placed that in fondue? Because at first you'd say, well, like I was going to say, you know, cubed bread and fondue go together. Would it, that cheese is pretty thick, you're right, so it could cause an issue. I don't know, just an interesting thought that popped in, or, well, a thought, maybe it wasn't an interesting thought that popped into my head. But this all started when our hero named Andy had been wearing his corduroy school pants, gray corduroy. Not like the corduroy of today, which, you know, goes in and out of fashionability every 3 to 5 years, it seems like. And I don't know what they call the things on the cord. So I guess that's why they're called corduroy. And not like the fat cords we have now that are fuzzy and comfortable. Back when Andy was a lad, corduroy, I don't know why it existed. The lines were thin like the wallpaper at the time. They looked a bit like wallpaper. They weren't necessarily fuzzy. They were a bit, you know, coarse to the touch. I guess the benefits of corduroy would be low wrinkling. And, you know, while they're, like, not stain-proof, harder to see stains on them. Or that's why Andy would have been wearing corduroy. Warmer, probably, in the winter. Because, oh boy, does everybody know that thin, woolly cords keep the warmth in. But Andy was out walking around his neighborhood. It was a day, it was somewhere between winter and spring. And a melt was going on, and it was one of those quick snow melts that early spring can bring. Maybe not the last snow of the year, but where water starts to turn to small rivers, and there's the heady scent of moist earth in the air, the pungent release of everything that was covered by the snow being warmed by the sun. And for children of the areas that are impacted by the winter, magical, magical time. For some of the bonds of winter are temporarily unfrozen. You don't need as much. You could be warm. The sunlight has a little bit more power. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's in sync with the ground or something. I don't know. You sense the changing of the seasons, and that stirs in you your own changes that may be happening or may not be that far off. For Andy, they'd be farther off than most children of his age. But that's not the here or the there currently. So where were we? So there was Andy walking down the road, watching the water run against the side of the road into the storm sewer, as maybe they call it, I think. Trying to find little bits of snow and make little snow blockages, right? And then Andy headed off into the woods, which probably wasn't a great idea because the ground, everything was so wet, but happened to have on, it just at this time, the perfect set of boots for these conditions. So normally this would have been a really bad idea because the wetness of the water would have waterlogged almost any type of shoe, even a snow winter boots. But at the time, Andy happened to have these, he called them moon boots, though the moon boots that were popular with children at the time were much different than these. These were more silver rain boots, rain boots that were kind of a silvery gray color with a little bit of a gaiter or something around the top to keep snow from falling into them. And I don't, you know, I can't see into Andy's shoes, but I know that, maybe you needed to wear socks. I don't know if they were necessarily insulated, these boots, or maybe they were. We don't know. We can't know all things. We just know that at least his feet weren't going to be sopping wet as he headed off into the woods. Because my first thing was, oh, that's a bad idea, you know, with all this wetness. But Andy didn't care, and he headed into the woods, and at the edge of the woods was a stone wall, and the stone wall kind of marked a demarcation of property lines or something, and the stone wall was just a few steps after you stepped into the tree line at the edge of the woods, and it was a good place to stand, you know, 2 or 3 feet above the earth and the stone wall. Wonder when it was built, how long ago. It's a crumbling stone wall, not a functional stone wall. And as children around Andy's age, which I'm not an expert in, I'd say somewhere between the age of 1 and 12, though guessing like 4th or 5th grade age, which I guess is between 2 and 12, standing there, looking into the woods, and the air, the cheeks sent Andy very, very pink because of it was warm, but it was also cool. And stepping into that tree line, the air got a little bit cooler because you're no longer in the sun. And Andy wondered what kind of adventure they were going to have here in the woods today. You might say all alone, but oh no, was it going to be, something with revolution or farming or space or some sort of other adventure? And for some reason, Andy's right hand found his way into his right pocket. And there was something in there, something fuzzy, something like a piece of yarn. And at first Andy ran it between the forefinger and the thumb. and said, oh boy, what is this thing? What is this, a piece of yarn? And then it said, hey, bub. And he said, what did somebody say that? And out of his pocket, he pulled something that looked like a piece of yarn. But then it looked up at him. And it didn't quite look like there's a character that sometimes appears on Sesame Street or one of those shows. But it did a little bit remind Andy of a much smaller and unicolor version of that. Though it could have also been a piece of the shag carpet, a brown shag carpet that, punctuated most of his home where he lived. But it was a little bit longer. And it had some personality. It had a set of eyes that were also, shades of brown. And it looked at him and said, hey, bub, you mind? And Andy said, sorry about that. I thought you were just a piece of yarn. And the being said, do I look like a piece of yarn? And Andy said, as a matter of fact, you do, or a piece of the carpet. He said, well, I'm not. And then Andy said, well, who are you? What are you? He said, I'm Woolworm. And he said, well, that's interesting. Woolworm, eh? And the Woolworm said, yep, that's what I said. And he said, well, I'm Andy. If you've been listening along, you probably got that part down. And Woolworm said, yeah, I did. I heard it. We could assume I know your name from now on, moving forward. Okay, I got that. Then I guess I'll switch. I'll talk directly to you, Woolworm. Sorry about that. I was just coming into the woods. I don't normally use this word, but I was going to frolic around a little bit. Would you like to join me? And Woolworm said, no. And Andy said, what were you doing in my pocket anyway? Woolworm said, well, I was asleep until you woke me up. Do you live in my pocket? And Woolworm said, no. I was resting in there, crawled in there. Because I was looking for something. What were you looking for? Well, I lost something, as a matter of fact, and I was trying to find it, and I couldn't find it in there. And then I was I've been looking everywhere. Well, what'd you lose? Oh, my lucky Denver mint. That's what I lost. Your lucky Denver mint. That's what you lost. Right, kid. Okay, well, maybe I could help you find it. Did you lose it? Where'd you lose it? I'm trying not to sigh because I don't actually, I'm just a woolworm. I don't actually have lungs to sigh with. What do you use without, what do you mean? You can't sigh? If I did, that's all we'd be doing right now. So you lost your, I'd love to help you find your lucky Denver mint. Could you tell me how you came to lose it? Yeah, it was the one thing I treasured once upon a time. I'd rather find my mint than tell you my entire history, kid. But, I lived in a woolworm world and I lived a woolworm life. It was a dream. And it was a treasure. But then they say, like, they everybody, there's all these things people say, and one of them is when you become you get older, you got to strike out. Every woolworm has to strike out on their own. And I didn't really want to do that. I said I like it here in the woolworm world, in the woolworm life. It's my thing. And they said, you could come back, after you head out and learn the ways of the world. And they said, can't I just learn, enjoy the ways of the woolworm world? And they said, well, we have this population thing, to be honest, Woolworm, and this is the way we've solved it, is you go off, it's just how it works. Works for everybody. Well, it doesn't sound like it's working great for me. But my the village that helped raise me, they knew me well. And they said, I tell you what, we got something special for you. And I said, really? And they said, something really special. And I said, really? And they said, something multi-useful for your adventure. And now you might not believe this, but we learned to read things in your world. Because Woolworm World's, part of your world, just part of the world you don't notice. And they gave it to me, and it was a small container, a little bit bigger than me, actually big enough that I could fit in it and fit my stuff in it. And across the top, it said, Lucky Denver Mint. And you could pop it open. For me, it took a little bit of shifting with my body. And I could get in there. I could go to sleep. I also kept, my things, my personal items. But, my Lucky Denver Mint was my main thing. I could also move underneath it. We're a bit like ants. We could carry a lot more than you'd think. So I could, and I could get pretty flat underneath here. So it was also like a bit of camouflage. I said, well, that's just a mint container there. And so you get what I'm saying? It was my house. It was my backpack. It was my, my car, whatever those things, like a shell. I get it. That sounds, so they gave that to you. Yeah, and then how could I say no? I said, wowee, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It wasn't like this was a traditional thing, or maybe kids don't talk about it in my world, but I said, well, now I feel comfortable going out in the world. I have a safe place. I have something that's, I feel lucky. And I don't know, I just identified it, look at the, well, I guess I don't have it, but it had like a cool breeze moving across it. And anytime I didn't feel so great, or I was tired, I'd just tuck it away somewhere, open it up and crawl inside. And, I had some nice things to lie down on. And I'd just think about nice things, and then I would drift off, or I'd just wait, and then I'd go back to my life. Wow, so you went off into the world, our world, I guess, Woolworm. Yeah, they said, go off and make it a movie script ending, Woolworm. Because there's nothing people love more than a movie script ending. I'm sorry, Woolworm, what's a movie script ending? Well, if we were a movie, the way it would end was with you helping me, empowering me to find my own Lucky Denver Mint, and then I would probably have completed my journey in your world, have a lesson, and return to my world with something from the outside to bring back to them that would help the Woolworm world, and maybe say, well, do we need, can we change, or are we enhanced by this, or what? Also, you would probably have something lesser because it would be my, it's my story. That's what's important to know. So your ending would be related to my ending, kind of like you're on my coattails or something. So you would probably go back to your life knowing that helping, you'd know about the Woolworm's world, but you'd be secret, that secret knowledge would give you some sort of, probably you need confidence or self-esteem just by eyeballing you. Or maybe getting outside, maybe those would help you get outside your comfort zone. I mean, I know it seems like you got friends, you're a likable kid, but so that would, you'd return to your life with those things, and it would all, that would be a movie script ending. Well, that sounds interesting, Woolworm. But what if we just help you find your, what if we just start out helping you find your mint? Because that other stuff, I watch a lot of cartoons. I mean, I'm more familiar with cartoon endings. I don't know what a script is necessarily. But cartoons end a lot of times that way. Or sometimes, you know, the more like sometimes. And I don't know. I always think that's what's going to happen. It never does. What do you mean, kid? Well, I mean, okay, so there's this one, there's these, other than cartoons, I watch these shows, adults call them sitcoms, and a lot of them are about families and stuff, and there's usually like some sort of family dynamic with three kids, and the kids don't really like each other, and they're not always nice to each other, and then there's all these situations that happen. But in the end, everyone's happy. It never made any sense to me at all. And when I try to follow, like it kind of was like the myths of my world. I don't know what Woolworm world is like. But if I say, hey, if I give my siblings a hard time like Mike Seaver does, maybe I'll be as cool as Mike Seaver is in his world. What's a Mike Seaver, kid? It's not important, Woolworm. I guess what's important is me helping you find this Denver Mint, the lucky one. So where did you lose it? Well, that's the magic, kid. I was in these woods somewhere. You got to be kidding me. No, I mean, I thought it like I went in your pocket because it was like I did want to see if a mint just happened to be in there because I know you go in there all the time. And that kind of, like, so what happened was, I got, like, I don't know if you remember this, it might have been, I don't know, because I lost track of time, but I was lying in the snow, I'd been crawling around looking for my Denver Mint, and you were coming through, and you stepped pretty close to me, into the snow, and I rolled over, and I fell into your boots. Oof, not a pleasant memory, but, you know, we don't need to get into it. I don't know, do you eat mainly a diet of cabbage or something? I don't like cabbage at all. It reminds me of something. Okay, that may, so that's how I ended up at your house. Went around and know that rug you're talking about, so made it easy for me to hide. And the next thing I knew, there I was, and I had to get back, so I was hoping I would get back here, but then I crawled in your pocket, because there was like, people were sniffing around, your animal friends or whatever, so I kind of never meant to get back here, but it was pretty cool that, I mean, I did eventually, so somewhere in these woods. Okay, so you lost your lucky mint somewhere in these woods. I mean, how'd you lose it? Like, how'd you lose the most important? Like, that way, I'm not saying, I guess I am. That's how everybody always asks me that question. Sorry about that, Woolworm. What I meant was, what happened, and tell me the facts. But also, a lot of times people say, how'd you do, like, you know what I'm saying? That was like a loaded question. Like, how could you possibly manage to lose the most important thing to you? Wow, kid, that sounds loaded. Like, yeah, it is, just because it happens to me all the time. And then they don't say, oh, let me help you find it. They say, how'd you manage to do that? And I say, I don't know. Yeah, sounds tough, kid. So, oh, but back to my facts. So what happened was, I was here in the woods, carrying my thing, living in it. The winter came, and I'd heard all about all these beings that like to take, hibernate and things. So, like, I was really interested in hibernating. So I thought I would come into these woods and hibernate, right? But here's the other thing is, there was another woolworm. Or, you know, like another, my name's Woolworm and I'm a Woolworm, but there's another Woolworm named Rory, who had been watching me this whole time, and I didn't know it, but Rory didn't have a lucky Denver Mint, and I guess Rory had strong feelings about that, and said, well, if I get that lucky Denver Mint, I mean, I can understand that. I mean, I don't know what kind of, like, culture would send another woolworm out. Like, maybe Rory, I don't know. I don't think it's fair that Rory didn't have a Lucky Denver Mint. You know, also it was my Lucky Denver Mint. Interesting. So what happened? Well, Rory, one day I heard a tap, tap, tapping when I was I tried hibernating. It was pretty great because I'm wool. It was even better. You know, I'm a wool worm. So I went to sleep. I was sleeping sound, and then I heard this tap, tap, tapping. And at first I thought it was just water dripping, which was happened on and off since my hibernation. But then I realized that it was like something else, somebody trying to get my attention, right? And I said, oh boy, like maybe I should open up my thing. So I said, oh boy, I better open this up. And then I like opened it up, and there's another woolworm looking at me. And it said, hey, I'm Rory. Who are you? Welcome to the neighborhood. And I said, are you? Well, first I was very tired. So I said, what is that? You know, it took me a while. And then I said, oh, hey, Rory, how you doing? Good to meet you. And yeah, I'm just waking up. Sorry, I was hibernating. And Rory said, I didn't realize that woolworms hibernated. And I said, well, I do. It looks comfy in there. Mind if I do? You know, I said, no, it's only like, it's just room for us. And then Rory said, well, why don't you come out and say hi when you're ready? I'll just sit out here and wait for you. So I got it. You know, at first I said, oh, this is interesting. Another woolworm. At first I saw that it was great. And, you know, I got comfortable, woke up, you know, made my bed because that's a thing, you know, a lot of people like to do. And then I was like, hey, Rory, I'm out here. How you doing? I'm a woolworm. And Rory said, wow, woolworm, the woolworm. I'm just Rory the Woolworm. And I said, that's a pretty great name. Never met a Rory. And Rory said, I have met woolworms, but so you're out here on your own, huh? And I said, yeah, they sent me away, you know, to go on a great adventure. They said, don't come back till you have a movie story ending or something. And I said, yeah. And Rory said, yeah, meaning less than that is not going to cut it. And I said, I know, right? It's so, it kind of stinks. And so we kind of talked, and then Rory said, oh, let's go for a walk. And I got, you know, we kind of spent some time together. But, you know, something wasn't sitting right with me. And I asked Rory, like, Rory, where do you live? And Rory said, well, around sometime, because I didn't ask about the lack. I at least had the presence not to say, where's your Denver, Lucky Denver Mint? Also, they had told me it was special. But I said, well, I wonder if they gave Rory something or what is it? You know, I have some self-awareness. So then Rory like said, do you want to play this fun game? And I said, well, what's a fun game? And Rory said, it's called Seven. It's the humans play it. They call it hide and seek. I call it Seven. And I said, okay, what is it? And Rory said, I count to seven and you come and I come and find you, or you come and find me. And I said, oh, yeah, I've heard of this. So we played it for a while. First time I hid in my tin, and Rory found me. The second time, Rory hid it under my tin, and I found Rory. And then the third time, I hid behind a tree. Rory eventually found me. Then Rory hid behind some rocks. I eventually found Rory. Then the time after that, I climbed up a tree and pretended I was a branch, and Rory found me. And then Rory tried to cover, like, dig into the snow and hide, but wasn't fast enough, so I found Rory, which gave me the idea to hide under the snow, like, dig in. But here's the thing, it was like, the time of the day changes, like, from day to dusk, and things get cold fast. So I burrowed under the snow, right? But then things kind of got, the day started to get later. I had plenty of room. Like, it wasn't like I know how to burrow. I've burrowed before. I've experimentally slept outside of my container. So I had plenty of space. It wasn't that wasn't a concern. But then Rory was walking around looking for me. Whoa, worm. Whoa, worm. And then Rory, I felt like Rory was patting the snow around me, like looking for me. And I was kind of giggling because they said, Rory, you can't find me. And I heard Rory like going further off. And I said, well, maybe I should tell Rory where I am. We found each other every single time. No one's ever won. So I'm not sure what to do because I'm winning. I didn't really define it like that, but since that time, when I've watched you humans from inside your house, then I didn't hear Rory any longer. Then I said, well, I better get out and find Rory because Rory's going to wonder where I am. I hid so good. But then the snow was like, kind of started, had froze, so I couldn't get out. Now, it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't a concern. Like, it was like I had my own little, like cabin down there. So I was comfortable. I was just worried that, like I said, well, I just made a friend. Rory's going to wonder where I am. Eventually I fell asleep because it was so cozy. And I didn't wake up till the next day, like when the sun was already warming the snow and some snow dripped on me. And then I, pushed out and I said, huh? And then I said, Rory, Rory. Then I went back, looked around, followed all our foot, our slide marks. No sign of Rory anywhere. And I was like, oh man, what am I going to, Rory's going to be so upset with me. But it was also like, part of me knew, that something else was up. So then I went back to where I left my, Denver Mints, because I knew it was by that tree that didn't have any leaves. They kind of like, and then not far from the tree where I pretended I hit a branch. I had in a specific spot right then, because it's a spot I chose to hibernate, and my lucky Denver Mint was gone. And I said, oh no, like my lucky Denver Mint is gone. I could see where Rory's path went, so I started to follow that all morning or, midday till the afternoon when it kind of felt like I was just, like Rory had made like some spirals. But eventually there was like this place not that far from here where there's a lot of trees and Rory went up a tree and then I couldn't follow it. So I was calling for Rory and then like this afternoon's malady came, it was like I was down and, heartbroken because my lucky Denver Mint was gone and that was it. And then that's when I met your boot, not that long after that. So that's what happened. Wow. That's quite a tale, Worm. I'm sorry that happened to you and I would love to help you. Okay, well, how do you think you're going to help me? Well, here's what I do. When I come to these woods when I have these kind of problems. So to be honest with you, Woolworm, and we'll start walking. Why don't you stay hanging with me? Like, I'll carry you like you carried your lucky Denver Mint. Kind of like drive on to me. Like we'll go together. And you guide me towards where those trees are. And while we go, I think we'll find something with this. I'll think of something. Think of something like what? I don't know yet. The water's melting, and so we walked and I kept an eye out. But most of the time, Woolworm was kind of doubtful. You know, how are we going to figure this out? What are we going to do? And we passed the place where there's like a bit of a culvert that forms a pond from when things really start to melt, and kind of everything in the woods that could be swept away by water ends up there in the spring, and then in the summer it dries out and you see all the whatever got dropped in the woods, which like that was light enough to flow down there. And it's always like something strange. And I kind of was like, well, we'll see if anything's flowing in there. I know it's not spring yet. And lo and behold, as we got to the trail where the hills come down into this little gully, then eventually goes and flows down to this little temporary pond, there was a box, and it was a soggy, soggy box. And I said, well, let's see what this is over here, Woolworm. And it was a box of, it was a non-well-known brand. It was called Pot Top Stuffing Mix. And I see the box, like, as soon as I touched it, the cardboard, the paperboard kind of fell away. But inside was an airtight bag, a plastic bag. Woolworm said, what's that? And I said, this is stuffing. And I didn't want to use your time, but Woolworm, but explain to you what stuffing is. But I said, it's kind of hard to explain. So don't worry about it, because it's a, but I said, I'll figure, this is exactly what we need. And Worm said, what are you, and I said, don't worry, you just lie low. I want you to hide in this, like in my jacket here, under my, like these are called lapels. I don't know what they are, but that's what people call them. And I want you to lie low, and just keep guiding me. And so eventually, Woolworm guided me to the area where there was a lot of trees, where Rory was last seen. And I said, oh boy, can't believe I found this bag of stuffing. I'll take you everywhere. This is like a dream come true. If only I had a friend to share it with, I said, then I laughed to myself, ha ha ha, can't believe that foolish Woolworm gave me up something so valuable, most valuable comfort, I guess there's a world of Woolworms, and that must be the easiest Woolworm to fool in that world. We had some good conversations and taught me that game of seven. But then I got that stuffing that Woolworm had hidden away. So secret. Can't believe this is the most valuable thing. You don't even get to find out about it till you return. I guess it's the most comforting thing in the world. That world of stuffing, eh? I think I'm going to prepare it now. Well, I'm kind of bored, though. I wish I wasn't alone. It seems like there's more of it than I even need. That's the wild thing. And, I guess I'll just prepare it. Let me see here. I got the snow, so I'll have to warm some of the snow. And then I'll get the stuffing ready. And, eventually, I said, don't make sound, Woolworm. You know, I'm good at this. And I was sitting there, and eventually, you know what I'm saying? But just talking to myself, blah, 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 blah. You know, stuff in the stuffing, bada, bada, buffing. And the next thing I know, I said, hey, bub. And I said, Woolworm, is that you? Sorry, I took your stuffing. But you shouldn't have told me where you hid it, I guess. I apologize, but it's, you know, finders keepers. And that person did not say, they said, I'm a wool worm, but not that wool worm. And I said, oh, phew. I said, sorry, I'm not against, you know, I'm not into tricking all wool worms, just this one. And actually, I traded that wool worm, like, I got this stuffing from a wool worm. You okay with that? And the wool worm said, maybe. And I said, what's your name? And the wool worm said, Rory. And I said, wow, so you must know about this stuffing, huh? And Rory gave me a knowing fake look, pretending like Rory was, oh, yeah, that's the most comforting stuff in our world. But I've had my fill of stuffing. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. I said, I'm going to get it prepared now. You know, I read the secret scroll of preparing, and then it disappeared. And Rory said, oh, yeah, that secret scroll of preparing. And I said, look at this stuff. And I had a handful of stuffing. And I said, doesn't look very comfortable or anything. This is the magic dust that gives it a comforting scent and flavor, they say. And these are the this is the comforting bed that becomes congealed. But Rory was already congealed. But yeah, and I said, it doesn't look very good right now. That's why you need the magical recipe. I said, do you want to help? And Rory said, yeah, well. And Rory said, I don't know. And I said, oh, yeah, you probably don't. You probably had your fill, like you said. Plus, this is my stuffing. And, you know, I am like, I do believe in whatever the, you know, I was raised in under the, like, military industrial complex. So, you know, I don't just give away stuff. No offense, Rory. You know, I barely know you. I can't just give you some stuffing. And Rory said, understood. I don't think I'm interested anyway. I said, okay. So yeah, I said, you see, I'm warming this water in my hands. Then I said, Scooby, Scooby Doo. And I poured the water over the stuffing. And magically, eventually, you know, it started to soften and congeal. And I started to make a stuffing ball in my hand and touch it. And I just put the right amount of water in. So it was like soft, but not a dripping wet. And Rory was totally like, and I said, man, you want to touch it, Rory? And Rory touched it, and it was just the right, so you could push it down, and it would pop back up the top pieces of stuffing. And Rory said, wow, you got a lot of that stuffing, huh? I said, yeah. And Rory said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I don't know. I said, if you're interested, we could share it. Rory said, how? I said, well, you could get in there. I said, but I'd have to, do you got anything to trade? And Rory said, well, what do you mean get in there? I said, well, I was going to put it in my pockets. I don't know. I just wondered, it's like how it feels in my hands. I wonder how it would feel in my pockets. And that was real. I mean, it wasn't a trick, that part of it for Rory. And Rory said, And I said, you want to touch it again and think about, do you have anything to trade? And Rory touched it again and released that heady scent of like whatever, thyme and turkey and parsley and chicken broth. And Rory said, well, I got one thing. It's not that great. And then I said, well, bring it back and show it to me. Maybe Rory tried to oversell it. I can't remember. And Rory came back with a mint container, Lucky Denver Mint. The mint, you know, in my world, the mint's so large, only one fits in a container. The Lucky Denver Mint, you know, looks like a coin. It's a gigantic. And I popped open the thing and I said, whoa, like, oh, you got a little bed in here, huh? And I said, this is pretty nice. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll trade you all. I said, I'll give you the stuffing if I can stuff it in my pocket, for this mint, and if I can stuff it in my pockets. And then Rory said, what's a pocket? We kind of conversed about that. I said, you could probably go to my house and crawl around. And Rory said, great. And I said, well, this is actually works out. Work out for Rory. Work out for Woolworm. And I said, okay, Rory. And then we actually just started making, I put my, in my upper coat chest pocket, I put the Lucky Mint thing in there. Woolworm climbed down there, of course. Me and Rory, I said, just like a game of seven, you could hide in here, Lucky, or Rory. And Rory said, yeah, I feel lucky. And then we made it, we actually made four stuffing balls, or I did. And then Rory said, can I see what it looks like to put it in your pocket first? And I said, okay, this is my favorite pocket, my right pocket. So first I put some in my back pocket. And I said, you probably don't want to go back in there because it took a lot to stuff a stuffing ball in there. But Rory and I had a laugh because I smacked my butt and the stuffing exploded. It then I put another stuffing ball in there in my other back pocket. I said, we'll smash that one later. Then I put one in my left pocket, and it warmed to my skin's touch. And I started singing, you know, I got a pocket full of stuffing tonight, which was a popular song at the time. And I said, Rory, climb in. And Rory climbed in and got in my pocket. And I guess I didn't notice a couple things. One, that there was a gathering of crows or ravens or something. What I did notice, it was time for me to get home for dinner. And then I guess I didn't think about the consequences of having my pockets full of stuffing when I got home for dinner. And then I said, Rory, can you hear me? And Rory said, then I had to dig a hole in the stuffing in my pocket. And then I said, okay, you can't hear me in there, huh, Rory? Rory said, no. And I said, okay. And I said, okay, Rory, and I said, maybe you like, do you see, I said, maybe you like, we might not make it all the way to my house, but you'll keep all the stuffing. And I said, don't worry. Rory said, this is the best. It feels so good in here. It was worth it. The trade. And I said, okay, cool. Cause I said, this is more of a temporal experience probably. And Rory said, that's fine. I've never been happier in my life. And then I put restuffed Rory, and then I said, hey, Woolworm, you're free. Here's your lucky Denver Mint. And Woolworm said, wow, this isn't a movie story ending exactly for me, but it feels like a new beginning. And I said, don't trust any Woolworms until you get to know them, Woolworm. And maybe I'll see you in the woods. And Woolworm said, that'd be nice. Maybe we could be friends. And I said, yeah, let's meet up again soon. And we picked a secret spot, and Woolworm went back and said, I'm going to hibernate some more. And then I headed home. And then as I started heading home, I realized the birds were following me, which at first I thought was cool. And then I realized that my pockets were sopping wet with stuffing. And I started to think about what my dad would do if he saw pockets full of stuffing. So then I started trying to get the one pocket that was already smashed, emptied out, one of my butt pockets. And then the birds started eating that. And once they ate the stuffing, they realized that I was covered in stuffing and started dive bombing my behind. And I was running and the birds were diving and then they were pecking my bottom. And I was yelling. I don't think Woolworm could hear anything, which was for the best. You know, not all his tail. Now, Woolworm was actually was made of wool. So the story does have a coda too, or whatever you call that. So eventually I ran towards towards the street that goes home. Not into the street, just towards it, out of the woods, through people's backyards, trying to rip all stuffing out and avoid the birds. And then I fell on my bottom. To defend my bottom against the birds. And then the birds were kind of swarming around me. And that's when they were diving for my other, I was trying to get my pockets emptied. And then my father came home from work. He was driving or no, he was walking from the bus. And he shooed the birds away. And that's when, you know, and I was a little overwhelmed. So it's okay. Got the birds away, got me calmed down. I said, I just want to go home. I don't want to talk about why my pockets. Please don't give me any consequences either. And that was when I went home. So we were walking after I was calm. I realized that my pockets were mostly empty to the stuffing, including the stuffing that Rory was in. And what happened was the birds, you know, did take like Rory's stuffing, consumed most of it, but then the birds were wise enough to realize that Rory, to them, Rory was also wise enough to play like not moving around. And the birds thought Rory was just a piece of wool. And Rory has a whole nother famous tale, because then eventually Rory learned Rory's lesson. Rory would live in birds' nests for years. And Rory became the bird egg whisperer and lived happily, pretty much happily ever after. So that's a that's like the tale, the pocket full of stuffing, one of the more famous tales of that happened once upon a time. Good night. All right, I wanted to thank everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. I want to thank Old Pete from the U.S. who really likes the show. Don't know how somebody can get so good at talking, but point of circles, that takes, it turns off the human brain. But I'm just glad I have this option on Restless Nights. Yeah, I don't think the ads are worth complaining about either. Thanks for the legendary bedtime scooter and perfecting your art. Thanks, Pete. Then we have a five-star podcast from Germany, in German, but from Give Me All Your Cookies. So I'll have to translate this one, but I can see, thank you, something, quote, normal podcasts, you know, something, something. So that's nice. Kira with a K and a Y. Kira's Human, best podcast. You know, I get insomnia, sometimes I have a headache. When I take things for my insomnia, with Sleep With Me, helps me get some sleep. They're trying to finish Apple at their core. Also a young person, 10 years old. Wow, the scooter Drew, Andrew, it changed my life. Wow, that's really touching. Thank you. CJT says they travel a lot. They found Sleep With Me on Delta. Thanks, Delta. And the first, they didn't like the show. That's a pretty common thing. Next thing they know, they're waking up with a plane landing, and that was weeks ago. So that's pretty cool. Thank you, CJ. Shauna, keeps me company in the deep, dark night. Love it so much. Thanks for making it. Dear Brooklyn says, don't even know what the show's about. It could be 850 reposts of the same episode with just different titles, because I fall asleep in 15 minutes. Listening to Sleep With Me is my favorite part of the day. Thanks, Brooklyn. Ebion, the inventor from Canada, says, and I oop. Caress Your Soul doesn't want to caress this podcast soul. They don't like it. So they don't like it's just funny. I guess they want to strongly caress my soul, because they find the show annoying. Al2271 says it helps. Never heard one of the stories falsely within 15 minutes, I think. From Pakistan, Mao says, always puts you without fail. Been listening for years. Can't recommend it enough. Thanks for everyone. Love hearing your stories. Thank you, Mao. And Jess says they really enjoy the show. They also had the flu. Sometimes they miss the comedy from the show, but, you know, what are you going to do? Grasshopper says, does what it says on the tin. No idea what this podcast is about. Sydney from the UK said, is this a new podcast? Because it's good. Kay from OKC said, it's hilarious, but it's too distracting to fall asleep to. Francis from Australia says this podcast is too sharp and sharp. Also, Mel's says it's like a chalkboard. But then CB kind of says the same thing and says it's like falling asleep like a kid on the couch. Perfect. Like the soft hum of your parents in the next room, quieting my anxious mind. Chris, a treat for insomniacs, I'm lost without it. Tom K. Says, Mental Salve of Meander. I like that one. And the negative reviews are hilarious. IO Doctor 20 loves the podcast. So thanks everybody for reviewing the show over on Apple Podcasts. You can just open up your app if you use Apple Podcasts, review it there or on your desktop. You know, we're assuming it exists as a free podcast because the people that support the show or support the sponsors or go out of the way to like review the podcast or spread the word. Those are huge ways to help the show. And speaking of letting you know, like, the word about something, here's a podcast I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Luxe. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Luxe collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.